Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Lucy Bardieu's message for Sunday, the 23rd of April. Emmaus. For some time now, many of you have known of my interest in lesser-known characters from the Bible. Today I want to tell you about a man named only once in the entire Bible. Have you ever heard of Cleopas? He was a disciple, one of those who had followed Jesus closely, and we find his name in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, after the resurrection. We will read his story. 2 weeks ago we celebrated Easter, the resurrection. Who first knew about the resurrection? Some women. After the crucifixion came the Sabbath day. They saw where the body of Jesus was laid, in a new tomb, lent by Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus had bought 30 kilos of herbs and perfumes. That evening, the women prepared herbs and perfumes to embalm the body. Afterwards, they observed the Sabbath, as it should be, but the next day they returned to the sepulchre. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 10. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day will be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. They return to the place where the disciples were gathered and tell the news to the others. The disciples don't believe them. After all, they were only women. Luke 24, verse 11. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. However, Peter is still startled. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And he returned home. Luke specifies that he was very surprised. Yet Jesus had announced it. We read in Matthew chapter 22, verse 32. "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." The disciples had heard that he was coming back to life, but they hadn't really considered or understood. That same day, the day of the resurrection, two of his disciples went to Emmaus, some 2 hours' walk away, about 10 kilometres west of Jerusalem. One of them is Cleopas. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 16. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. They travel. They talk among themselves, of course, about the events of the last days. Then a stranger approaches them, walks with them. They don't know him. No, they don't recognize him. Not because they are too preoccupied, no, but because their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. The word in Greek really indicates that a force is at work on them. It's not that they haven't looked properly, that they haven't paid attention, no, they are actually prevented from recognizing him. Who stops them? Theologian scholars have suggested it was the devil. Haven't you noticed that we always see the devil where he is the least, and that we see him least where he is most slyly at work? Here, the one who prevents them from recognizing the Lord is Jesus himself. As weird as that may sound, that it is Jesus who prevents someone from recognizing him. A few weeks earlier, Jesus had rebuked his disciples for having eyes but not seeing. He was disappointed with them. Here he prevents them from acknowledging him. He is trying to be disappointed in them again. We will read at the end of the story that they recognize him, but it's after having done 10 kilometers together. And when they recognize him, they will go back to where they came from, another 10 kilometers on foot. And you know, 10 kilometers on foot, it wears one out. It wears out your shoes or your sandals. So in all, 20 kilometers on foot. Jesus, if he had made himself known immediately, would have saved them hours of walking. Why is Jesus doing this? For the moment, in the story that Luke tells, Jesus is just a man they don't know who, like them, walks to go where. They don't know where he came from. The other person travels alone. They understand that he is looking for company. Walking alone without having someone to talk to makes the distance seem long. Okay, so Cleopas and his companion agree to walk with this other man. He is surprised to see their serious faces and is worried. Let's read the verse 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. The disciples looked visibly sad. These guys, who had been told by the women that Jesus had risen, instead of being happy, they are sad, dejected. So much so that this other man who was looking for company notices and asks them about it, and he receives an answer. We read in verse 18. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Incredible, a man who seems not to know, not to be aware of what they have been talking about between them since leaving Jerusalem, is questioning them about it all. You know, the sort of questions that lead to depression. Here is Cleopas and his friend. They reason, they try to understand why it ended like this, with a crucifixion, a death, and they look sad. We sometimes reason like this. We wonder why, when someone dies, or when one of our projects fails, we wonder why. And there, behold, Jesus comes to their side. Like us, after all, when we are in this state of questioning, this is why we do not notice who is at our side. He who comes beside us, who walks with us. Yes, Jesus is there when we want to know why, when we are sad and dejected. Only like Cleopas and his friend, we don't always recognize him, the one who is, however, there. He is risen. He is here by our side. I am with you every day until the end of the world. But it may be that we don't notice him, that we don't recognize him. So we remain sad and dejected. Here in our story, Jesus plays the innocent who doesn't know what they are talking about or what has happened. Let's read Luke chapter 24, verses 18 to 24. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Jesus lets Cleopas and his friend give him a summary of the events. Then he reacts, "Let's read further, verses 25 to 27. Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." The disciples gave a summary of the events to Jesus. Jesus is going to give them an explanation of these events. "There you go, this stranger who came to walk by their side. Apparently he is a scholar. He knows the scriptures very well. He explains things to them about Christ. This Christ that they have been with for 3 years, who had already spoken to them about all this. But they had eyes and did not see. They had ears to hear but did not understand." Jesus had to come and walk with them to make them understand, finally, so as not to let them get lost in their speculations. Cleopas and his friend, they were looking for answers together. They were talking to each other. They were imagining a scenario. They were trying to understand. They were looking for the truth. When the Word comes to speak to them, the one who holds all the truth, they are ready to laugh at him. "Who are you that you don't know that?" While he knows everything better than them, they seek the truth. The truth comes to walk beside them. They do not recognize him. So yes, they laugh. But you have to understand that they are in the darkest hours of their lives. Nothing has value anymore. Everything they saw, heard, has disappeared. All their hope is gone. And they say that he's risen. But how hard it is for them to believe it. They seek answers, as the answer walks by their side. They are in darkness as the light walks with them. They demonstrate to us that where two or three are gathered in his name or wondering about him, Jesus is among them. This is the message of Emmaus. In the hour of your doubts, I walk beside you. When you wonder about me, I am beside you. The problem with asking questions about faith, about who Jesus is to be wrong, to fall into heresy, being carried away by our speculations, our interpretations. But here, Jesus comes beside them, explains Christ to them, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets. The Word explains the Word. Jesus, who is the Word become flesh, explains the Scriptures. And this will have an effect on Cleopas and his travelling companion. Later, in verse 32, they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" We have the scriptures, but they can remain a dead letter for us, not making sense, not being understood. We read, we heard, we did not understand. Our eyes remain closed, our ears seem not to hear, until we let the living Word explain it to us. We do not give this stranger who walks by our side the Word, the opportunity to really reach us. One can read the Bible throughout one's life and not encounter Christ, the one who is at the centre of the Bible, the one who is the message of the Bible. Cleopas and his companion could not understand the scriptures with their head, their brain, humanly, by their own strength. Whoever walks beside them had to explain it. Can you imagine for a moment if they hadn't paid attention to this stranger, this third man, that they had continued on their way without wanting to speak to him? How easy it is to miss the essentials on the path of life. To read with our human eyes and not let our minds be enlightened by the mind of God himself. This foreigner, the one who is at our side, the other one. Ah, This conversation with Jesus did them good, warmed the hearts of Cleopas and his friend, to such a point that when they arrive at their destination, they invite this stranger to stay with them. They will offer him hospitality. Let's read verses 28 and 29. When they came to the village where they were going, Jesus acted as if he wanted to continue on his way. But they restrained him, saying, "Stay with us, the day is already fading, the night is approaching." So he went in to stay with them. He seemed to want to go further. Jesus does not impose himself, neither to these two disciples, nor to us. If we don't want to go further, if we don't invite him, he doesn't impose himself. The scriptures repeatedly say, "If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." You also have to understand, if you don't look for me, I won't impose myself on you. Let's read on. Cleopas and his friend could have missed out on the best if they had not invited Jesus to their home. Like us too, we can miss out on the best if we do not invite Jesus to stay with us. Let's read verses 30 and 31. He sat down with them, took the bread, and gave thanks to God. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from before them. Then their eyes were opened. First they had been prevented from seeing. Now this impediment falls. Jesus had to prevent them from recognizing him right away. They would have been overjoyed, but they would still have understood nothing. They would not have known what the life, death, and resurrection of Christ means. How could they one day have been his witnesses? First, he had to prevent them from recognizing him. He let them walk 10 kilometers without recognizing him in order to get to know each other better. This is God's purpose. Sometimes we have to go through moments of doubt, of not understanding, before arriving at this place, this moment in our life, where we are finally ready to recognize him. Have you witnessed to someone in your family, in your environment, and they do not recognize the Lord? Maybe those eyes are prevented from seeing. Maybe God is trying to reveal himself more clearly. Does he take his time? You have witnessed. You can count on the Lord. If these people invite the stranger who is Jesus for them to walk with them, they will understand. Jesus does not impose himself. He walks with Cleopas and his friend. He prevents them from recognizing him with their eyes immediately. He teaches them to know him with their heart. Did not our hearts burn? He teaches them to know him with their brains. Did not our hearts burn when he explained the scriptures to us? After understanding with their heart and brain, they can see him with their eyes. If they had recognized him right away, they would have gone immediately to the others, saying, all fired up, "It's true, he's risen, we've seen him." But this joy would have been superfluous. They had to first understand the reason for the resurrection for their joy to be complete. Then their joy being now complete, they set off again. Let's read verses 33 to 35. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the story of Cleopas, 10 kilometers on foot, twice over, which shows that Jesus is the one who walks beside us. Jesus is the one who does not impose himself. Jesus is the Word who explains, that brings to life what otherwise would have remained a dead letter. Jesus is the one who makes our hearts burn long before our eyes see him. So where are you? Like these disciples on the way in full questioning mode, not sure about this resurrection, lots of whys. Have you noticed someone walking beside you? Jesus is there. Just ask him to explain to you. Have you ever had that burning heart? By reading the Bible? While praying? Did you recognize him? Maybe you are still like Cleopas. He heard, he saw, but he is slow to understand, to believe. If your heart is burning, invite this stranger, the one who is with you without you really knowing him, to enter your home and ask him to open your eyes, that he removes what prevents you from seeing him as he is. If you are on the path of life, rather sad, downcast, with questions, whys, so much so that you don't notice the one next to you, do not continue to walk alone. Jesus is not the one we only hear about on Sundays. He is also the one who walks by your side during the week. He is risen. He is with us every day until the end of the world. That's why we can talk to him. So let's pray. Amen.